Morning. You are listening to TV on the Radio here on BFF.FM. I'm Jessica and I'm here with Leah. Good morning, Leah.
Good morning, Jess. I just have to burst in and say I could never get on that plane to do my humanitarian aid work. I had to race through the streets of the Mission this morning to come say that the show means more to me than anything else in the world.
Leah literally
delighted to be here.
Raced through the Mission this morning to make it here for the show on time, and Christmas miracles do happen.
Yes.
We are discussing, I guess, the holiday cinematic universe of Netflix and beyond, which the more I think about, the more I'm mystified by. So we'll get into that. But speaking of TV holiday movies, I would like to have a moment of silence for Aunt Becky, who... whose Hallmark films were presumably shelved this year.
Yeah.
As she was arrested coming home from Canada.
Too bad.
But we look forward to seeing Lori Loughlin again in a Hallmark Christmas classic in 2069 when she gets out of the clink.
Yeah, I wonder if this is...
I'm sure she will look exactly the same.
Yes, absolutely. I don't doubt that. But I wonder if this is going to switch her to, like, more Lifetime stalker Like maybe maybe this was
neighbors' cats.
Yeah, maybe this was all like a calculated PR thing for her to get into more gritty dramatic roles as the mother who will stop at nothing for their child.
Yeah, I probably our cynicism knows no bounds.
Yeah.
But yeah, today we are going to, we can talk about any holiday movies that you want to. I've watched a whole lot of them and remember almost nothing about any of them.
Well, but, I mean, insert plot point B anywhere at any point.
If you haven't gone to our Twitter, by the way, and downloaded our 20, I think I called it
2020. 2020, you did.
Even though it's not 2020 yet. Mm, I just realized that.
We're proactive about our... It's timeless. You can use it next year in 2020 also.
My husband pointed out a couple of typos and I was like, I don't care. But he didn't notice that it was the wrong year. But anyway, time jump ahead to our Twitter at BFF TV on the radio. And you can download our 2020 TV holiday movie bingo.
Which, yes.
Print it out. Play along.
Yeah. Where,
as I said on Twitter, you can put it in a paper shredder and then tape it back together and you have a film treatment that you could pitch to Lifetime next year.
Absolutely. Or Netflix. Just back up your Netflix truck of...
How long before every other streaming service gets in on the holiday game?
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder if Netflix has really cornered the market on that. I haven't seen like any original Hulu content.
I don't know. Hulu could... I feel like another streaming service could come along with the holiday movies in their own voice. Like maybe Hulu could do the ones that actually have, you know...
Open mouth kissing.
Yeah. Before a minute, you know, one hour and 59 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great. Get on that, Hulu.
This is an aside, please. But for those of you who don't know, today is BFF Station Moms Amanda's birthday.
Happy birthday, Cosmic
and
Amanda.
What better way to show your appreciation for Amanda, who does such an amazing job, and for BFF than to donate? It's our season of giving here at BFF.fm. Yeah. So go to BFF.fm/donate and wish Amanda a very happy birthday. She's on Twitter at Quonky. Tell her we sent you and all your money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Thanks, everyone. Okay, so we watched the Night Before Christmas.
Is it A Night Before Christmas? I don't know.
And the third installment in the Christmas Prince franchise universe, A Royal Baby.
Yeah. Also, by the way, for a third installment, I recommend the Royal Prince trilogy versus like your Twilights, your whatever other bullshit.
Really?
You know? I'm all in on A Christmas Prince.
I am surprised to hear that.
I am all in.
So let's start with that one. So you liked it.
I mean, I wouldn't say...
wouldn't go that far.
I wouldn't go that far. But what... So the first one, A Christmas Prince.
Right, which I
was... The Princening.
Charming, I thought, if I remember correctly.
So that's the
haze
thing.
Of eggnog that I probably watched that movie through.
So that's the thing. It wasn't necessarily, but there was something about it that definitely like hooked its Converse clad teeth into me.
Right.
And then the second one was about the wedding.
Yeah.
And now this one is about a royal baby because, you know, that's the next logical step. And I just think that all these people are having like such a like batshit fun time with this world that like there's something that makes it really endearing to me. And I'm into it.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't like this one. I feel like the first one was charming because it really just went balls to the wall in like every TV movie trope. And, you know, it wasn't interesting or clever, but it, you know, it went for it. And then the subsequent two films were just so self-referential. And it's like, she wore Converse in the first movie. And now we have to, like, make a fucking thing out of that. It's like,
it's
not clever or interesting.
She didn't even wear Converse
in this
movie.
Still, I thought that maybe they lost that endorsement deal. Yeah. But then they did bust out the Converse. They had a baby Converse for the baby. But yeah, in a universe of movies where I understand the point is that they're low stakes. They don't stress you out.
Jessica.
It's just comfort food. But literally, there was nothing happened.
There was going to be a curse on the future monarch of Aldovia, Jess.
I was very...
This was the highest stakes movie to date.
I disagree. She still had to pay lip service to the fact that she's a quote unquote journalist.
Where are my Aldovians at? I need some backup here. We're at BFF TV on the radio. Where my Aldovia stands.
So Amber came from
Queen Amber.
Queen Amber, now a queen, formerly a journalist, but she still acts as though she has journalistic instincts, but then immediately buys into the idea of a curse.
Formerly a blogger, let's be clear.
Currently a blogger.
Yes, currently a blogger.
Okay.
A royal blogger.
Okay. I still am mad. I know this is just some weird gut thing for me, but every time I look at that guy, my brain says, why is that not Armie Hammer? Like, I just replace, when he's off screen, I replace him in my mind with Armie Hammer.
Yeah.
And then when he's not Armie Hammer, literally every time, I am mad, which is stupid because obviously Armie Hammer is like way above something like this.
So I have the same thing where in my mind I think he's hot. And then when I was watching the movie, I was like, he's like a step above Mike Birbiglia. Like, that's who he looks like more than anything.
Yeah.
And Mike Birbiglia is a perfectly attractive, mediocre white guy. He's very funny, by the way. His Netflix special was charming.
Oh, really?
The new one. Yeah. But this prince, I'm like, was he hot? Was he hotter? And I don't think
he ever was.
I don't think he ever was. But now that he's been 100% neutered, he is certainly less hot. Like, at least in the first one, he was supposed to be a bad boy.
Right,
playboy,
a playboy.
Right?
Yeah.
And now...
Now he's assembling his own IKEA furniture, which...
Yeah.
How poor is Aldovia?
Yeah. And that was a tacky-ass crib.
Yeah.
Too. Yeah. The gold filigree.
Okay. So I don't remember if this happened in previous... films, but they did the screen flash on a map of Aldovia, so it could also so I have a lot to say about this. I posted a picture on Twitter. Aldovia is apparently the entirety of the Balkans.
Yeah.
So I would like to know at what point they like conquered all of Central Eastern Europe. But it also introduced us to Penglia,
their
nation that's roughly where Bulgaria is.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to meet the royals of Penglia who came for a state visit.
For their centuries-old truce.
Yes, to re-sign the treaty that gets signed every
100
years.
Yes.
On Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
They are Asian, which is cool, but I don't know. I feel like they could have just made the map a little bit more, just a wider shot to include a part of Asia.
Yeah.
But no. And we'll get to this, but in between Aldovia and Penglia is the nation of Belgravia,
mm-hmm.
which is where a princess switch took place last year.
Sure, sure.
And I have some things to say about that. But, so I don't know.
I'm going to tweet out the picture, which explains why they didn't have a huge cartography budget. And it's because they spent all of their budget on photoshopping the very second scene, which is Queen Amber recounting their past year. And the second shot is them or two cardboard cutouts standing in front of a like poster that you would find in a travel agent's long shuttered travel agent's. And it was just the fakest looking shit that I have ever seen. Supposed to represent their honeymoon. And I would just like to say again, not to harp on this, but like, we've established that all these movies are not, they're romantic, they're not sexual in any way, obviously.
Yeah.
So, but like, there's a big morality thing at play. Like, every Hallmark movie, anyone who has a child, it's because they've lost a spouse tragically.
Mm-hmm.
And they're bravely going on in the face of, you know, something terrible. There's no divorce in
these
worlds. There's no anything. We'll get to A Christmas Night, but she's like, she was voted biggest flirt in high school. And I'm like, no flirt shaming, please. Like, but there's no sexuality whatsoever. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't know. We've established that these people are married and have had sex to procreate. So I don't know. Could we at least get like him, I don't know, grabbing her ass? Like,
oh, God, no.
Just something that I don't know.
I'm scandalized.
I am.
Yeah, no, they're completely sexless.
Yeah, and it's annoying. It's super annoying. I don't want to see upper tier Mike Birbiglia naked, but like, I'm just saying.
Right, there's like, I mean,
spice it up a little.
I think what you're reacting to is also these people have a complete lack of chemistry.
Oh,
there's no sparkle in between them. Last year you said that you thought that they were in a fight because he was barely in the movie last year.
Oh yeah, I think
maybe that's ongoing.
Well, and I have to say that for a lot of the Hallmark movies I've watched, I'm like, these actors hate each other and have contractually written in that they like will not
be in the same will scene not together be, until the last
yeah scene. They will not physically touch until they absolutely have to, and you can see them grimace as they go in for this like kiss after declaring their love for each other. And it's confounding to me, and what's even more confounding to me is that I will watch as many of these POSs as Hallmark is willing to make. It is terrible pablum with like extraordinarily low stakes. I have a lot to say about the messaging in all these movies. And yet I'm like, will she get back with her high school boyfriend? And will she win the gingerbread contest? Right. Like, this is me at my most basic Karen rich white lady. Like, I don't know what it is that appeals to me about these movies, but it is soul soothing at this very stressful time of year.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a huge part of it. The whole thing makes me sad. I keep watching them, but it's like this weird self-perpetuating universe, especially the higher budget Netflix ones. Like, mm-hmm. I was trying to do some quote-unquote research this morning or, you know, see what people's hot takes were about these two films.
Is this going to be on your, we should start a blog about this.
Okay, I have a lot to say specifically.
WordPress blog.
Well, okay. So I read a Refinery29 article that was like, I don't know. I think the takeaway was that this movie vaguely like shamed women who opted to take painkillers during childbirth because there was a whole plot about her birth plan and how it was going to be a painless birth. And there was some sort of like meditative aspect to it, or reframing contractions as surges. And it's like a positive thing and not painful, blah, blah, blah. And the writer had the nerve to take a swipe at the fact that Amber was a blogger. And I was like, this bitch is blogging, like just like writing SEO content about a movie that's designed to like
generate
sustain that industry.
Yeah. which Aldovian are you?
Yeah, it's a symbiotic relationship where they keep pumping out these stupid movies and then writers pretend there's some sort of spicy takeaway from it, and then we do the whole thing next year and everyone still has a job, I guess. And like, bitch, you're a blogger writing about nonsense and you're taking the swipe at the queen of Aldovia for doing the same thing.
And I understand, queen, you better not miss.
There's a tiny amount of irony to me like talking on our radio show about these same things, complaining about it being stupid, but I would like to point out that I'm so untalented that I don't even get paid for it. So there. I'm not part of your industry. My commentary is free.
So speaking of not being part of the industry, you mentioned that there's kind of like, you know, a lot of these movies, you mentioned how like The Princess Switch is somewhat tangentially related to this universe. And then in A Night Before Christmas, whatever. Yeah, I don't know. That guy with the bad hair.
I loved his hair.
Ugh,
I saw a hot take that took a swipe at his floppy hair. I'm here for floppy hair.
Yeah. Not here for his floppy hair.
Oh, you don't like blondes.
I don't like blondes and I don't like guys with curly hair. It's a real, it's very off-putting for me.
Okay.
But anyway. It's fine. It's more for you.
Yeah.
Anyway, so in their movie, they're watching.
Yes.
And spoiling Netflix other Christmas movies that are available. And that's wrong, I would just like to say. But there's like some crossover between these worlds because, as you pointed out, like what happens if you Netflix and chill in a Netflix movie? Like, I don't know.
There's a whole fucking Inception
thing. Did this
thing
kick off the impeachment hearings?
Okay.
Like, are we. Is that our
job? I want to start at the beginning so I don't sound too crazy. But so I guess we'll just bounce around between the two films since they do, in fact, take place in the same universe. In a Night Before Christmas, the Emmanuel Chariqui character, she's a sister, right?
Yeah,
Vanessa
yeah.
Hudgens' sister. She opens a gift or something, or puts this big ass acorn on the tree.
Yeah,
and says, "This is your cousin picked it up in Aldovia or something."
Yes.
So Aldovia exists in this universe,
and
then in Aldovia, we learn from the map that Belgravia is the neighboring country where Princess Switch took place. So this posits that either there are three people who look exactly like Vanessa Hudgens running around in the universe, or it's an even more complicated Inception type thing where everyone's reality is a different streaming service that exists within another one.
Yeah, it's a multiverse, obviously.
Yeah.
Chess, I just watched Spider-Man Homecoming on the plane. I mean, I know about multiverses. I don't know what all that has to do with, but I'm just saying that all the Hallmark Channel ones feature Lacey Chabert or Candace Cameron Bure, and I think our entree into the world is where we write the actual story of where it turns out these are bipolar women who go from town to town at Christmas time, assuming new lives, trying to make some haphazard fool chastely kiss them, and then they devour him succubus style, and then move on to the next town the next year. I want this to be a continuum of their alternate
I think that's psychosis. A great idea. I mean, especially since Netflix took the step of making these meta and self-referential, now we have to take the next step and
follow it to its logical conclusion, which is all
depravity.
These baking bitches are I don't know what it is about baking in these movies. It's obviously a homey thing. Maybe they could bake one of the guys from last Christmas.
Yes.
Okay. So we'll have to work that in. Sorry. We're still workshopping this, you guys. I guess you don't need to
the
be here for that part. But
life-size gingerbread is actually, gingerbread man is
an amalgam of
corpse.
All the prior men she has killed and baked. But
Dr. Frankenstein's gingerbread man.
And she won the competition in many ways because none of these bitches are winning anything. Here's the thing. I didn't pick up on the fact that they were shaming people for having medicated births. I assume they're also then shaming people for not giving birth in a castle.
I didn't pick up on it either. I just read some stupid clickbait article that was desperate for a hot take, and that was their hot take.
But I think the other thing, the thing about the princess one, or Christmas
Royal
Prince or
Baby.
What Christmas whatever.
Aldovia.
The thing about Aldovia that's so fascinating is at least there are actual references to a feminist movement or trying to move the country forward.
Queen Amber
is
trying to counsel the Queen of Penglia about being less of a trad wife, I guess, and taking credit for what she's done for her country, which I wasn't clear bitch, mind your own business, okay? This lady's a queen of a country.
She's been doing fine, okay?
Snuck in here from middle class New York, running a diner or whatever.
She wasn't even running a diner.
That's right.
She was just working at her dad's
junior
diner.
Journalist or something.
Mm-hmm. She was a listicle blogger.
Anyway, sorry. You're saying they vaguely attempting to have a feminist message.
Yeah, so they there are feints towards the women having agency. There's the scene between the two princes, kings, whatever, assembling their IKEA thing. Also, tellingly and worrying, the king of Penglia is just this good natured doofus who's we'll build it like we lead by instinct. And I'm if that isn't the biggest fucking indictment of the world in 2020, that's exactly where we're at. But they're having this conversation about how their wives are the real backbone of everything and blah, blah, blah. And so my beef with the Vanessa Hudgens, not my only beef with the Vanessa Hudgens time travel thing, is that so it starts off with her counseling. She's a high school teacher who apparently works in some, I don't know, like industrial park complex. Like, what the fuck type of school was that? But
this takes place in Ohio, so I wouldn't be surprised if it was an extremely depressing public school.
Yeah, but it was like, it looked like an advertising office. It was insane. Oh. It was like a huge complex. But anyway, it starts off with her counseling her student and saying, like, you've always been a straight A student. What's going on? And she's like, my boyfriend, like, broke up with me, and that's why I failed my midterms. And then she's like, it starts off with her saying, like, look, you have to focus on yourself. Like, ignore this doofus. Like, there are no good guys out there, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, all that goes away. And it turns out all she wants is to, like, she is so desperate for a man to show any kindness to her mm-hmm. whatsoever, that she then takes up with this
crazy
knight,
person
knight from 1433 or whatever.
1334.
From Norwich. Asks no fucking questions and then gives him the keys to her car at one point with the
steel steed.
So do you remember how to drive now? And then he clearly doesn't know how to drive. And she's like, catch you later, bye. Like, just reapplying her amazing red lipstick, which looks great throughout the movie. But
okay, go ahead.
And then at the end, it's just like, okay. So, like, now this guy comes back, spoiler, at the very end with his actual horse in this town in, like, she lives in a house in fucking Ohio. What's she going to do with this unemployed douchebag with no ID, no job, no money? I mean, no nothing. And again, he's like, I'll be a policeman or a baker.
Right. Okay. I have so much to say about this movie. So let's back up just a little bit in case anyone is listening who hasn't watched it. This movie opens. I kind of enjoyed I thought the opening, you know, usually these movies open with B-roll of a big city. And we zoom in to a woman, like a career gal you know, editorial assistant or a junior journalist or, you know, proofreader or something in some New York City high rise with her colleague expositing something about what she wants or going home for Christmas.
Or like the best idea the advertising agency has ever heard, but she can't get. But she can't get like any traction because she's the janitor.
Right. So this movie opens on Norwich, England in 1334. And it's two dudes discussing their careers, which is being knights. And they're engaging in some sort of batshit contest where they chase a falcon around.
Sure.
I wasn't clear on that, but I guess I don't know what people got up to in 1334.
There wasn't a lot of other shit to do. Yeah.
But, you know, with very little fanfare or explanation, an old crone sends this guy to, you know, 2019 Ohio. And what,
very rude, too. He's like, oh, let me help you. Like, it's very cold out here. And then whatever, she does her magic and disappears. And the other thing is she says, like, I'm sending you somewhere so you can fulfill your true destiny to become a knight. And I'm like, we don't have much need for that in 2019. Like, I don't give a shit that that's his true destiny. Knights are out. I don't know if you heard, but
go,
like,
to Indeed.com and see how many positions are open. But,
but anyway, so then, she disappears. And then he's like, old crone? And I'm like, that's rude, sir. Like,
he,
you were just trying to be a knight.
So many times. And very few people had questions about that. But yeah, speaking of people who have no questions, he's jumped hundreds of years into the future in some jank-ass Ren Fair. And the first thing that he's like has questions about is people taking selfies.
Yes.
Like, there are cars around.
It's very relatable.
Buildings that, you know, are of a design he would have never seen. The film
There's
didn't
electricity.
Get into this, but the difference between 2019 English and 14th century English is quite vast. Yeah. Like, not even really mutually comprehensible, but, you know, we'll leave that aside. Just kind of like, whatever, pretty chill about the whole thing.
He's all, wow, electricity is way better.
Yeah.
Like, it's
my iPhone is so busted compared to these. But yeah, then Vanessa Hudgens shows up and basically runs him over with her car. And then it's quickly exposited that her dead dad was a police officer, which explains why she was not hauled off to prison for vehicular manslaughter.
Also, one of my notes was, She gets out of the car and she's like, I'm so sorry I didn't see you. And I'm like, bitch, you never admit fault. Never. Like, he's wearing armor. He's fine, okay? Like, he is on his own at this point. You're just like, it should be like, why did you jump on my hood? You never admit fault. And yeah, then the rest of it is just her being railroaded by this knight from 1344 who's like, your tree is lame. Let me go chop one down. No, I like my white shit. White trees are kind of problematic. So,
I like a fake tree.
I like a fake tree too. I don't know about the white ones, but.
And again, not to get bogged down in nerd shit, but I looked it up. Christmas trees were not a thing for hundreds of years until like the 1600s or something. Mm-hmm. So this guy is all like tree shaming her and making her go out and chop down a real tree. He would not have been part of that tradition in 1334.
He said that they used to, put candles.
Yeah,
and whatever.
He's lying. I don't think he's actually a time traveler. Your story's falling apart, dude.
This is the greatest scam perpetuated by a man with floppy hair since Notting Hill. I don't know. So again, he can factor in as a mentally ill guy who travels from town to town scamming women into supporting him for a year. And also, I love how, like, she's like, you can stay in my guest house, which she inherited from her dead parents, because there's always like some dead parents or something that brought her back. They actually didn't do the whole thing about like how she's bigger than this small town,
right,
but
came
like
home
she's
to take care of her dying parents.
But she did say she did that, but she didn't have any like, I was a mid-level executive at Sony beforehand. Like it was, whatever. I don't know.
At all
Dolby Labs.
Which exists in this universe.
Yeah, exactly. I was a mid-level liege in Aldovia before I had to come back to my small town. Yeah, exactly. Before I had to come back to my small town. But her entire thing is she's just so, like, she never asks him anything other than, so were you married?
Yeah. I wish you guys could see Leah flipping.
And her entire fucking, like, they set it up to be this kind of like, I don't need a man. You can't trust a man. Like, her second line is like, we've all grown up hoping for a knight in shining armor. And I'm like, did we really? Yeah. Because, like, I just wanted to marry Gilbert Blythe. Like, I wasn't necessarily looking for, like, a knight in shining armor. I was just, looking for a mid-level Mike Birbiglia. But but anyway, like, they set it up to do this, and that just absolutely goes away. And she's like, this guy's kind of cute.
Yeah.
Like, and his whole thing is just talking about things that knights are, and he can't find his quest. And then and then at the end, he's like, you have helped me believe in myself, which was my biggest weakness. And I'm like, you as a knight, which was basically like a rock star in like 1334 Norwich, like your biggest problem was that you didn't have enough faith in yourself. Yeah. Go fuck yourself, handsome knight man. That, like, that's a lie.
I think that was this film's biggest flaw, is that he, like, the first scene is him being transported in time to fulfill his quest. They don't establish anything that he needs to overcome. He's just a happy-go-lucky knight. It's not like he has been hurt in love. It's not like, it's not like he's a lost soul who's searching for his soulmate or something.
It's not like he has to learn
and
to
then,
love.
Yeah, they keep
put his work aside,
highlighting that when he says, "I don't know what my quest is," and it's like, yeah, that's the problem with this movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no journey for this character.
Well, and the other thing is, ostensibly,
except
like,
to Ohio.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, his quest is to become a real knight in Ohio. So good luck at your Renfair future, mofo. But, like, the other thing is, ostensibly he's sent because she's his destiny, right? But, like, then it turns out that she's just there in service of him feeling better about himself. And then, like I said, he has the gall to come back with his giant horse.
Right.
Like, now I'm not only saddled with this unemployed no ID mofo, now I've got a horse to feed as well. Like,
okay,
this is not sustainable on a teacher's salary in Gracebridge, Ohio. Okay. Like, it's a lot. And also,
the sister
owns a boutique, so shows up with like two bags of clothes for him. And I'm like, what? Like, she's buying all his food. Like, girl, you can do better. Like, I don't know.
Was there a Was there a moment when she went from thinking he was mentally ill to believing he was a time traveling knight?
Oh yeah, it was okay. When she he said, "The moon rises whether or not I understand it. There are things you can't understand." She's like, "Huh, good point. You're right, dude." And then she's all in from there on out, and she just keeps saying, "There are things you can't understand," and then like flips her hair, and just it's yeah. There was, I mean, this movie was produced by Vanessa Hudgens, and like, I don't know, maybe as your first vehicle, try to get something with an actual plot. Like, nobody asked a question like, why?
Yeah, imagine the life you would have to live with someone who time traveled from 1334. Like, yeah, you're right, you're gonna have to not only take care of him financially, but you're gonna have to explain how weird he is to like all of your friends for the rest of your life.
Well, we did see him code switch very effectively after one night of watching
TV. I had a visceral reaction to that. Like, he watches Netflix for a whole night and then starts, I guess, talking.
This technology is lit AF.
Oh, it was bone chilling.
It truly was.
I did not like that.
I mean, that as a searing like slap in the face of 2019 is really maybe the wake-up call that we all needed.
Right.
Like, maybe that's the true message, is just the indictment of our current culture. Like,
yeah,
maybe we needed that juxtaposition. But anyway, his whole thing is about, like, he has to fulfill his quest, never establishes what the quest is, so he can get home. Then he gets home in truly the lowest budget scene I have ever seen in my life. He kneels down, and four vaping teens off screen blow some smoke on him, and he disappears. And he disappears, and she's just like, oh, sad. Like, my floppy-haired knight is gone. Like, there's no, again, no question about that. It's just like, well, I guess that, you know, he's back to being a knight now. I'm never going to see him again.
Yeah.
And then he goes home, which was ostensibly the whole point, right? Because he discovered his purpose as a knight was to just believe in himself more, I guess.
To just kiss a girl and then fuck out of there.
And then, yeah, I was like, oh, worst way of being ghosted, though. Like, somebody time traveling, like, talk about being ghosted for real. Like, yeah, he went back to 1334. That was how desperate he was to get away from me. But anyway.
Like, you get a text that's like, it was really fun hanging out with you. I'm going, I'm going to be traveling for a while. Yeah, exactly. But I'd love to see you again.
I'm going to be chasing this falcon for a while. So maybe if the falcon blows your way, I'll look you up next time I'm in town. There's an orange under your tree. There's also, like, he carved some fucking weird ornament. There's so much that was very strange. But again, she doesn't ask any questions about the fact that this guy just, like, evaporated. And then he goes back. And his brother's like, oh, hey, you're back. We thought you were lost in the woods because your horse came back alone. And he's like, no, I'm back for your knight ceremony. And then the brother says,
no questions.
Yeah. And then the brother says, you're in love. I can tell by your eyes. Go to her. And like, it's this unspoken thing that they understand that like he's going to time travel, I guess. And then they literally, like, the brother says, like, you're in my heart. And, like, they do a bro fist bump on, like, iron chest plates. And then he's just like, oh, Crone, I need you again. And then he's like, the fuck? And then at the end, the most bizarre part, the setup for A Christmas Night 2.
Yes.
Nights in Shanghai or whatever it's going to be, was the old Crone looking like a One Direction fan, standing, looking, like, weaving around, waiting for the brother to come out. And then he comes out. She holds up, he's like, oh, how can I help you? And she holds up the thing, and it glows red. And I'm like, is she going to change into, like, some hot, like...
young Crone?
Yeah. I was like, so is this the start of their love story? Like, she needed to get rid of the brother and to send him to Ohio in 2019 in order, like, I am mystified, but
yeah,
I'll
clearly
probably watch A Christmas Night 75.
Oh, I'll watch it, yeah. Yeah, they were definitely setting the brother up, who had no journey and no, like, story the sequel.
Is that a thing that, like, it's the indictment of our times that old crones are like, you know what, guys? You're needed in 2019.
Let's just go ahead and
send you a few centuries ahead, because mm-hmm. these bitches like really need a guy who is
enlightened,
unemployed with no ID and no discernible skills, but like other than saying constantly, a knight is always true of heart, like, and then a knight is loyal above all, like, yeah, I don't know what it is. And I really need a deep dive into Vanessa Hudgens' psyche that.
Yeah, I do think there tells is something to the fact that we have to keep going like farther and farther back in history to find like a, you know, character, a trope, a character type that's uncorrupted, you know, like a knight. It was 1334. Who knows what? They can't be canceled because we don't really know what they were up to. So, yeah, they're pure of heart. If we say they're pure of heart, you can't look up anything to say that's not so.
Yeah, except other than the fact that they were all like married by the age they were by the time they were 14. So like,
it's romantic.
I don't know, dude.
I also thought it was kind of an indictment of like small town Ohio that he showed up from 600 years ago and was just like, yeah, I don't really. This all seems fine.
Yeah.
Nothing of interest here. Yeah. Should we go to a song?
Sure.
Let's play a song. Beyond Ox.
I don't know if any of you guys have a different take on a Christmas night, such as like we missed the glaring. I don't know what the message was. Also, the biggest flirt in town just like literally said hello to him.
Yeah, that's another thing I fucking hate about these movies. Sorry, Frank. Is they will introduce a character that's sort of a villain, like mm-hmm. this sexy neighbor who's going to try to snatch your man away. And then, like, she just was like, oh, okay. Like,
yeah.
She just relents and is like, you really love her, don't you? Or some shit like yeah. that. It's like, can't we just have one villain to vanquish?
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. We're going to go to a song and then we'll be back doing some more ranting.
The villain is time itself, Jess.
Ooh.
And mistletoe and presents on the tree. Christmas Eve will find me where the love light gleams.
TV on the radio. All right. Anything else to say?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
There's no story or plot. And the guy's cute, but he's not like, I don't know. They didn't have amazing chemistry, I didn't feel. Yeah.
I did appreciate like too. I thought he was hot. And Vanessa Hudgens is obviously beautiful.
Yeah, she's really gorgeous.
Yeah, they didn't really have, I mean, they weren't given the opportunity to have a lot of like sparks flying. But I did appreciate that he came out of the shower shirtless. That was like literally the only sexual thing to happen.
But also still soaking wet. Like,
yeah, I don't mind that.
I don't know. Just towel yourself off a little bit, dude. Like, I would. Oh, so yeah.
He's not used to towels. That's new technology.
That's right. So he stays in the. She's like, oh, you can stay in our whatever she calls it, like guest cabin, whatever. Mm-hmm. And she's like, it's not much. And then you walk in and it's like a Williams Sonoma, goddamn, like perfectly decorated, like Christmas stuff everywhere. Like, it's super, super done up. Mm-hmm. But, aside from that, the one thing that I legit got a chuckle at was she introduces him to, not like formally introduces him, but she shows him Alexa.
Oh, God.
And no,
Alexa
but
played
I
way too big a role in this
movie. Yeah, but I loved it because then, like, I mean, that's how it should have ended, really. The old crone should have been Alexa. Like, that's how it should have ended. But then he called her Lady Alexa Play because, oh, right. Like, that's what she had said. And I found that funny. That was the only thing that I found, like, that I cracked a smile at.
All right.
So there's another weird thing. The kid asks for her niece asks for a puppy for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And a puppy appears. And they're like, did you get the puppy? No. Did you get the puppy? Right. No. Did you get the puppy? What the hell was that supposed to be about?
I don't know. Did he? Yeah, that was weird. I also want to give a shout out to that dog who, like, they dragged
was
outside.
Shivering.
Was shivering. Yeah. And literally the only person who could sell what it's actually like to be in Ohio in December. Yeah. All of these movies, like so many of the Hallmark ones, take place in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And everyone's just always outside in their jeans and a light coat in fucking Chicago
in
December.
There's also always a slip and almost fall opportunity for them to, like, catch the person in, you know, and then realize they're the force of their attraction. Mm-hmm. But they never do anything about it. Like, it's maddening. But what was the dog like? Is that supposed to symbolize her
being true of heart,
her now loyalty. Overarching theory that, like, there are things you can't explain?
It dog's just appearing.
Yeah.
I think the dog just wandered in off the street to pee on the Christmas tree. And they're like, oh, my God,
curled up in
it's a miracle.
Yeah, yeah. It did look a little ratty, so it might have been a homeless dog. It's true. A stray. I guess you call them strays.
That's the most heartwarming story of all then.
Yeah. Yep. I don't know. I also don't know why everyone was so, like, interested in this guy who she passed off as, like, he's one of the cosplayer knights down at the the other thing. So he's in the supermarket and he's opening all these bread rolls and spitting them out, like,
animal.
Annoying.
Yeah.
And also she was like,
she's gonna have to go shop.
We
at the
only
other
need
Safeway
one
now.
Of these cans of cocoa because he's into hot chocolate. And she's like, we only need one of these. And then he just looks at her and, like, defiantly and weirdly puts, like, six cans of hot chocolate. And I'm like, look, mofo, you're not paying for that. Like,
yeah. What have you gotten yourself into, girl?
Yeah. And then he said, like, at one point, he said, like, your ex-boyfriend really did a number on your self-esteem. And, like, what?
No, that was in the Canterbury Tales. That's the old expression.
Who are you to, like, yeah, just the whole thing. Like, I don't know what the message or why, other than being attracted to him, I don't know, like, what she's getting out of
it. It actually is a very forward-thinking movie about what we will explain away about a man that we are physically attracted to.
Yeah.
And,
at several points in my notes, I was like, she's overlooking a lot of red flags here.
For
another
sure.
Another red flag. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think there is something to that, is, like, this is just what we accept by dating men, is, like, a lifetime of dealing with
being gaslit by a guy saying, oh, baby, I'm from 1334. That's why I can't get a job.
That's just how we did things in 1334.
My skills don't translate to modern days. I'm just, why don't we Netflix and chill?
Like, this is the greatest film of our generation.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Vanessa Hudgens is centuries ahead of us with regards to feminist theory. And maybe she's subversively just, like, putting it all out there.
She's holding a mirror up to us.
Yeah. It's scary for sure.
It's genius.
That's for sure.
There's also that very effective scene where they emasculate the single dad.
Oh my god, town.
So
awful.
It was so terrible on so many levels. Like, it's also the entire rest of the town is there too. So now you've got these three kids opening presents and like 800 other kids being like, "Why don't we get presents?" Like, yeah.
Yeah, so the poor dad that we see pop up throughout the film, like the whole town gets together to get his kids presents because this loser can't afford them.
Because his wife died and he's working two jobs to keep his family together.
And then we have to watch this all play out in front of the whole town. And it's
the
saddest thing I've ever seen.
It's terrible. It is so terrible. And like so the kids are looking at all these toys under the tree and he's like, "What's the most important thing under the tree?" And they're all love and they're deadened voices. And I'm like, "That's a lie. That is not the most important thing under the tree.
It's a game."
Apparently it's male tears because we're making this apparently kind man who's raising his three children and working two jobs and volunteering like to help out the town. Mm-hmm. We're making him feel super shamed in front of the entire town. Yeah. Like, ugh, really something. So yeah,
honestly, I've really come around to this
five
movie.
Out of five mimosas.
Yeah, I love it.
We'll do business again.
What if you transported here from 1334? What do you think you would find the most mystifying?
Yeah.
Someone's Volvo.
Yeah. I mean, I think selfies is a good place to start, TBH. But I don't know. I mean, I just imagine you would literally be in the fetal position at like the lights,
the noise,
mm-hmm. the like, and also the old crone is like, "You'll fulfill your destiny with steel dragons that fly." And then like he sees a plane and he's like, "Oh, a steel dragon that flies."
I would have been upset by this image, but I've been warned about
luckily,
it.
Luckily,
you know,
the old crone
in 1334, we had dragons. They just weren't steel back then.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And like a box that makes merry or whatever. And
oh,
I was
right.
Like, I don't know about making merry. It's real mixed blessing. I don't know. I don't know. But I do also feel that.
Yeah, that's
like,
what would be most upsetting is peak TV.
Yeah.
There's so much to watch.
Where do I begin?
Do I subscribe to Apple Plus or not?
Yeah. Mad Men. Mad Men seasons 1-10. That's actually the history of America that you need.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so.
Yeah, also, I mean, no question about this being an entirely different continent. Like,
oh, yeah.
He's like, "Don't we rule you guys? Like, aren't I in charge here?"
I mean, 1334 was nobody even was, before white expansion. Anyway, I mean, I guess when you're in the middle of Ohio, you can't tell that you're in a different continent necessarily.
Sure. It's just all snow all the time. Yeah.
What would one of these movies look like if it took place in San Francisco, which they never do? Because I think they always have to take place where there's snow.
Sure.
So it can be snow. But yeah, because everyone in Chicago romantic. Is always like, you know, dressed like it's 65 degrees outside and there's a light breeze. Would a San Francisco movie have like a heavy drizzle, but everyone's in bikinis and just not talking about it?
No, it'd be like a heavy drizzle. So I think that the one that we can write is, stay with me here, okay? I know it's fresh, but I think the one that we could write that would be relevant and like very San Francisco is two people who met at last year's CentaCon and they have to find each other this year amidst a sea of drunk Santas.
That's a great idea.
And the rain. Yeah. I was downtown yesterday during that torrential downpour seeing all these totally soaked, drunk idiots.
Yeah. I was in the BART station and they were all like literally screaming.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really something. Really something. But yeah, we could do.
So this is going to be like a post-apocalyptic hellscape.
You essentially have to like make your way through a phalanx of drunk Santas to like find your true love. Yeah.
I like it. That's a great idea. I think I mentioned last week that I watched one on Hallmark that was called Magical Christmas Shoes that in a landscape of banal dreck, this was way up there, like clearly backwards engineered from some sort of focus group that concluded like bitches love shoes and then they just made a movie out of that. So do you have any like banal consumerist fetishes that you would like to see turned into a whole 90-minute holiday escapade?
Yeah, I feel like, so yesterday I was downtown because I was getting my eyelashes done. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I love the place.
By the way.
I love the place where I get my eyelashes done, but I feel like that microcosm is really its own thing. And yeah, I feel like there could be a big eyelash coming in trying to take over the small eyelash, the small eyelash operator who started out.
The beloved local eyelash tinter.
Yes. Yep. So that's what I would like to say.
I love that.
Yeah.
I thought of one where two women in their sweatpants just want to eat poutine together, but
that's
they're approached by a bunch of hot, shirtless male librarians who invite them onto their party bus.
And their party bus is just them reading silently
while
eating poutine.
Yeah. And then they drop us off at home and we go to bed before 9 p.m.
That sounds truly amazing. Serendipitously, this is going to be an aside, but yesterday I was at Target for reasons and it was like, you know, shitty out yesterday.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what I don't have? Like, I have tons of like leggings and workout pants and stuff. I don't have any like sweatpants, like legit sweatpants.
Getting
like
legit sweatpants changed my life.
With the, you know, like the,
elastic
around the leg,
yes.
The whole thing. So I literally picked up a pair of sweatpants. And this morning I was like, when I changed out of the sweatpants that I had been in since yesterday at like 2 p.m., I was like, I'll see you later. And I am stopping at Target and buying another pair on the way home because I have never owned such a garment before. And that's the Hallmark movie I want to see. I want to see a woman in sweatpants. That's who she falls in love with. We will have sweatpants. It's now the greatest love of my life. And I think, like, for winter, how did I not know about this? How did I go all these years without owning a legit pair of sweatpants?
I know. I didn't get, like, real sweatpants till maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and I regret every moment before that.
So many wasted years.
Wasted my life.
Yeah. So many wasted years.
Well, on that note, if any sweatpants companies want to sponsor this show, we have a spot open for a commercial if you want to just send
Absolutely.
A couple pairs our way. We would be happy to plug your product. All right. I guess we're out of time. I feel like we could talk hours more about sweatpants.
I didn't even get to my Lacey Chabert gingerbread men one. So I do want to say this really quickly. I feel like, so Hallmark obviously has the thing. They can't have anyone have sex. They can't have anyone have a child. So every Hallmark story has kids in it now. But all those kids are the product of either adoption or, you know, whatever. But this Lacey Chabert one, the guy in it was actually legit, like, sexy, which is very surprising.
Really?
But they were not allowed to be sexy together. Like, he was really surprising. Like, they neuter people who actually have some charisma.
Yeah.
It's strange.
All right.
But it's obviously working.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. All right, well, we'll work on our treatment for the softcore porn version of one of these movies that we're going to pitch to Hulu or something. And yeah, thank you guys for listening. Stay tuned for Indie Rock Girl Radio, and we will be back next week with more TV on the radio.
Yes.
Got no sleigh with reindeer, no sack on my back. You want to see me coming in a big black Cadillac. Oh, your pretty stockings, turn off the light, Santa Claus is coming.
down your chimney tonight.